This is the Student Leadership News Podcast.
Hello and welcome to episode 104 of the Student Leadership News Podcast. My name is Jared and I've got here with me Andy and Nade.
Say hey, hi, yo. Guys.
Hi, guys.
How are you?
Very good. How are you?
Yeah, doing well. I'm liking the cold weather.
That's good. It's not even cold. It's like 14 degrees where we are.
You're liking cold weather? What is wrong with you, my man?
Yeah, well, we jumped in the cold ocean yesterday. And I was loving it.
We did. Our office is close by the ocean. We'd go down there and jump in at lunchtime. But I want to talk about your table tennis skills, Jared.
I don't know. Why do you want to talk about that?
I mean, just because we like to have a little bit of table tennis competition. We keep scores.
Yeah.
When you lose a game, you lose a point. When you win a game,
which was my idea,
you gain a point.
Yeah.
And what are you currently sitting on, Jared?
I don't know. I'd never check that.
I know. You're on zero. and is that because we made a rule that you weren't allowed
to... That was good today.
You weren't allowed to go minus? So you're on
zero? No. I've just hit zero.
I think we should bring in negative numbers.
Yeah, look. It's not looking good for me at the moment.
Love the table tennis competition.
Yes. Yeah, I did beat Andy 3 times yesterday, but then I lost like 5 times today. So I'm not at a positive at the moment, but hey, we're training. If anyone has got any tips, email Student Leadership News addressed to Jared saying, here's how you do.
You lost 5 times.
Yeah.
What kept you motivated to just keep going?
Oh. Did you read the title of the podcast?
Nope.
No? Oh, well, okay. Yeah. Well, that is a good segue.
Very coincidental
then, Nade. Thank you.
This podcast is titled How to Develop Motivation for Change. Struggled to read it there. Even when nobody is willing to make a change. Mm-hmm. And so, Andy, to start it off, we wanted a tour tale.
Tour tales.
Andy, kick us off.
Well, Jared, I feel a bit bad because I teased you about your table tennis score.
It's okay. I'm open about it. It's a progress.
Nade brought it back with, you know, that's what she's here for, to keep us on track, you know?
Yes.
But I feel bad. This tour tale that I've got is also about you.
Oh, okay.
Jared in the spotlight today.
A little bit of motivation and like just keep you thinking. Something what we do when we travel all throughout the country in different locations, we like to stay active.
Yeah, gotta.
You know, because if you're in the car for 5 hours, you know, just eating chips and lollies.
Yeah, yeah.
You can develop unhealthy habits. So we like to stay active. So we're in the town of Bathurst.
Oh, good old Bathurst.
Regional New South Wales. Yes, there is Mount Panorama, the racetrack. And a annual tradition is for us to go for a run around the track. And so we decided that we'd set off on this track. Now, Jared, this is your first time at the mountain, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It's like Hollywood, but Mount Panorama. If you've never been to Bathurst,
because it's got the sign
on the hill, it's basically Hollywood.
So we set off, and I've been a couple of times, and you don't know the distance and the gradient of the hill.
No.
So there is, I don't know. For those of you who don't know Jared, I would. Nade, do you agree? You describe him as athletic.
Wow, this is really
just to paint a picture.
In what way?
Okay, if it's not an instant yes, then it's a no.
No,
I feel like if you're athletic, you're known as being athletic.
You're tall. You're not.
You hit the gym more regularly.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. I'm trying.
6'4" and a bit.
Yeah, probably around there. I don't measure.
6'5" blue
you're
eyes.
Up there.
Oh, trust fund?
Single.
I'm not in finance.
And so whoa. He is athletic. He's out there. The closest thing that I could... like, I'm trying to paint a picture here. You kind of run... you run like a camel.
What?
Whoa.
You're going out here.
No. That's a good thing.
Dynamite.
No, that's a good thing. Camels like can run fast and for long distances.
And they're very
they're kind of like they're not
you're
like
calling me bony.
Like clunky. It's just one after the other, all fours working together. Yeah, it's actually very efficient.
It's not graceful.
For the listeners, I don't run on all fours. I run on two legs. I get out on the Bathurst track, get down on all fours.
Jared on all fours running up this hill.
With a big hump on his back. No, but you just know, like a camel, it's not like a racehorse where they're just like, kind of like, but you know, they're good. They're good runners.
Okay.
Right. Anyhow,
I'll take that.
So we're taking off, and we're going, like we call a squad run. You know, everyone's going together, and we hit the mountain, and everyone's going, and we're setting a nice pace, casual pace. Next minute, Jared has come from the back, and he's like camel style, going straight
on two legs,
straight past two us, legs. Just like powering, and we all just looked at each other and went, he just has no idea about how far this is or how long this hill's going to go.
Hey, I had a burst of motivation.
And he kind of looked at us as he went past us and kind of like, I've got you guys covered. And off he went. And he got 10 meters in front.
Oh, more than 10 meters.
Jared, you did
I
not.
I gapped you.
You did not look back. You got 10 meters in front of us. And then I could see that he was just starting to slow, starting to tire.
Okay.
And like the tortoise and the hare.
Yep. Yep.
He took off.
Yep.
And he slowed and he slowed and he walked.
That wasn't a hill. It was a mountain.
And he walked.
I only
and then he was left
bit.
Behind and couldn't continue with the rest of the team because he wanted to show his camel skills how to take off up the hill.
Wasn't at the top of the hill showing people my camel skills.
No, it was at the bottom and you tried to take off.
Yeah, gotcha. That would be funny. Like, hey, check this out.
So how did you go? Like, you did get right around the track, which is impressive.
Like, yes.
We kind of left like you and started to go dark. Like, and like, you know, what was your motivation to keep going? You get teased.
I had to finish it. And look, I got a bit ambitious, but I did lose my motivation and still wanted to finish it to mm-hmm. be with you guys. Mm-hmm. But this does connect to the topic of this podcast, the motivation for change.
Does it? Save
because
us.
Because
I'm looking in the day. Help us again.
Bring us back.
This same thing can happen with leaders. They get elected and they're like, yep, I'm going to do my camel run into this role.
Yeah,
they
definitely say that.
Full sprint and they're like, we're going to change the world. They do their election speech and everybody's giving them a standing ovation. They're changing their school and then a couple weeks in, they run out of gas and it's just too much work.
Yeah, go hard too early.
They go hard too early, right?
And then think, this is way too hard. What am I doing?
And a lot of the time, they're like, let's change the uniform. Let's do crazy stuff. Let's do something massive. And because nobody's got the motivation for such a big change, the change doesn't happen. Leaders give up. They get burnt out. So we want to talk about how to keep your motivation for change.
Big time.
Because everybody can be motivated at the start, but not everyone can continue.
Yeah.
And so we had a bit of student leadership news. We had a school that actually did this. It was Blacktown Girls High School, and the name of the student was Erica Mercado. She was a year 9
student.
Shout
out, Erica.
Woo, if you're listening. And
she listens, I know.
She won the Youth Voices Get Active video competition.
Ooh,
and she did a video, like a pixel animation video to enter for this. And the whole program was a competition about getting people active. Now, Erica before this didn't really like sport. She wasn't even into video editing. And she didn't have much motivation in this area. She actually said she didn't have motivation. But she didn't let this stop her. She saw what needed to be change. She saw this opportunity and what the difference she could make. And so she learnt the skills, put this entry together, and ended up winning the whole competition with a really cool video. So if you're interested in it, check out studentleadershipnews.com. You can check out the article on that. But there's a student that had that same situation where they weren't motivated and they didn't have maybe everything required at the start, but they set some goals. They saw the difference they could make.
Yeah.
And they ended up winning a competition for their school and getting students active.
I feel like she saw the importance in that goal.
Yeah.
And that's what really was a big part of her staying motivated and keep trying to bring the video forward and get her whole school into it was because she knew how important it was.
Exactly. So well done, Erica. And if you were involved in that competition as well, well done. But maybe there's something at your school to the student leaders listening that everybody knows needs to change, but nobody is motivated to do anything about. And I know there's a lot of things that you might be thinking of now, and it's been like that for a long time. But since nobody has ever done something, or every time someone's tried, they've just given up. So we're going to do what I like to call decisional balance.
Oh, ooh, hang on.
So we're going to get on a seesaw.
Big words, Jazz.
I know.
Decisional balance.
it's a term us camels use.
Hey, because you've got to balance
humans. You balance on the, you know, the hump. It's a pretty high spot.
Balance all the like stuff that you carry.
Yeah, when you go across the desert.
Yeah.
Yes, no, it's not
decisional
that
decisional balance.
It's not that kind of balance. It essentially is a pros and cons list, but it helps you to find motivation to change something. Mm. And so you want to start by thinking about, if I make a change, what are the benefits and mm-hmm. what are the costs? Now, let's start with an example. If you wanted to change school culture
yes.
at your school, your mm-hmm. school culture sucks. People are really negative. Maybe there's even some bullying going on. Everyone's just sticking to their groups.
People aren't enjoying themselves.
It's just not a good time. People walk into school, they're like, this sucks. Don't want to be here. Nobody's yeah. nice, right? And so you're like, as a leader, you're like, we've got to change this. You've been elected. You've got the motivation to change. But all the leaders in the past have just said, we can't change what the students do. It's too hard. People do what they want. And what say do we have as leaders? And so if we brainstorm some pros for making the change, we've got to think about, okay, well, what would, if we make that change, what difference could we make?
Well, people would be happier. There'd be an atmosphere of people wanting to be there.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. People would walk into school and they'd be like actually wanting to be there.
Yep.
I think also the less popular students or the people who aren't in a big group or in a big friendship group, they wouldn't feel so isolated, or even those who are a victim of bullying, they would feel supported and have a sense of belonging.
Yeah.
Students would feel loved and encouraged. And as we're saying this, this is just, you know, a couple seconds into a brainstorm, and we're finding pros that show that this change actually is really worth it.
Yeah.
Another thing could be pride in your school. You actually want to show up to school. And so, okay, we're thinking about this. Yes, we should make the change.
So you do the cons.
But what are the cons? What would it cost you as a leader if you did the change?
Time.
Time?
Mm.
Yeah.
Takes a lot of effort and energy.
Yes.
Like consistency. If you're wanting to change your school culture, it's not just going to happen in like a week or a month. You have to stay consistent and keep doing all the things that you planned on doing that is going to change that culture. So it can get tiring.
Yes. Yeah. You got to keep running up that mountain.
Will it actually happen? Like attitude of that, like kind of like, you know, like
doubt. Oh. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a con of not doing it, but I guess it's a factor for not.
Yeah, and I think that plays into fear. The fact that I'm scared to take this on because what will other people say? You know, you don't want to be the one that stands out, because then you put yourself up to be picked on, or you put yourself up to be made fun of by others because you're that student leader that's wanting to make the change. You're going
well,
against the crowd.
That's actually the con. Is people could call you like, oh, nah, goody two-shoes, or like, no, that's rubbish, or can... tall poppy syndrome you for having a good idea. Like that would be a con.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And so if we think about, if we don't make the change, well, pros of not making the change are just similar to what we said before. You'll be safe, you'll be comfortable, you'll be in your comfort zone, you won't have to try. And if I can say anything about that, if you're in your comfort zone as a leader, you're probably not making a difference. And that's just a side point. And so the cons of not making a change are exactly the same. The overall mental health of the school will be lower. Students perform worse academically due to the bad school environment. There's so many things that we could list that are worse, right?
Yeah.
And so now that we've brainstormed that, what logical solution would there be?
Okay. So students have seen, this is the change I want to make. I've made my pros and cons list. Yeah, we're deciding we're going to go ahead. Well, there are things that they need now, like tools to get them forward. One thing that helps me when I'm lacking motivation, or I know I want to do something and I should do something, but I'm just like, oh, I don't want to. Like, I'm lacking that motivation. Something that helps me is celebrating little wins. So let's say it's a big goal that we have. Let's say it's the school culture, for example. You're not going to see, like Andy said, you're not going to see that change straight away. But what you can notice is the little improvements that your school have made to get towards that bigger goal. So maybe you're seeing that students are being more friendly to each other, or you're seeing that there's an overall, like, the sense of enjoyment or happiness at school is higher. So although that's not the entire culture changing, you can still see that that's a little win. And you need to celebrate that, because if you can notice these little moments and have a little celebration, maybe you bring in a cake to your leadership meeting. Like, yes, we just made this little change. Let's celebrate it. Let's get excited. The whole student leadership team can be like, oh, yeah, we did do that. Yeah, we did make that really change and get everybody hyped and excited to make another little change. And then over time, all those little changes will contribute to your big goal.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, I reckon that's fantastic. And something that often we forget and can keep people on that trajectory of where we want to go. But before we can do that, we do need to make sure we clearly know our vision.
Yeah, definitely.
And the goals that help us to get that vision. So I think you're essentially saying today that, you know, if the vision is to change the culture by some way, then the goals are, what are the steps that we're going to take along the way towards that vision? And you're saying stop and celebrate those goals.
Yeah. Stop and smell the roses.
So you haven't got to the vision, but you've ticked off a goal. Let's celebrate that, so people are motivated and want to be a part of that as well.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And celebrating the small wins is what will reduce that fear. We're talking before about the fear of it not going right. But if you're celebrating the small wins, you're actually, this is good. And so when you've done that decisional balance and you decided, no, the pros really do outweigh the cons, it is 100% worth it. It will be scary. It will cost me some time and effort. But we need to change our schools because it's not about me. Leadership is about how I can impact the lives of others. And so I think that one of the most important things about this is to be prepared to stand up even when others won't. Because they may be too scared, but if you can get over that fear, you stand up, you make the difference. And even with something like this, changing school culture, exemplify it. Be kind to people. Make the change by living it every single day. And so those have been some tips on how to stay motivated as a leader, because even at this time of year, you've been going for a while as a student leader, but it's getting towards the end of the year and you just feel like you're losing motivation. So we encourage you as a team to see if you can get back to your goals, write them down, celebrate the successes you've had this year, and stand up when others won't, so that you can stay motivated to really finish this year well.
Yeah. And if you're listening to this podcast and coming to one of the conferences that we run, you see Jared, introduce yourself and say, how do you run like a camel?
And then I'll give you a demonstration.
Because I too want to be a camel.
A camel runner.
I'm going to figure out how to run like a camel.
Are you a camel runner? Let us know. Let Jared know. Join his motivational running group and stand up for being camel runners.
Camel runners forever. I'll make an Instagram account. I'll go
camel
viral.
Runners.
Camel runners. All right. This podcast has been lots of fun. We hope you got some golden nuggets out of it and this has helped you to stay motivated as you lead this year. That's all we've got for you today. Thank you, Andy and Nadé.
My pleasure.
And we're going to sign off. See ya.
Peace.
Thanks for listening to the Student Leadership News Podcast. Interact with us on social media and follow the news online at studentleadership.news.